the expression from the music inspired me so much to take risks, and it inspired damn near the whole rap game.
Hello again, I'm Adam Ons. You may know me as the host of The Opus, and now I'm bringing my own show, The Spark Parade, to the Consequence Podcast Network. I speak with artists and creatives about the cultural artifacts that spark their personal interest and creativity, whether it's music, books, movies, video games, or any other kind of art.
I've never spoke about it in this amount of detail. I'm suddenly going, oh my God, I'm blowing my own mind here, Christ. It's actually a giant part of my life.
By talking about the things we love, we share and discover insights into our personality and the things that drive us.
It's just magic, really. I mean, frustrating. And it makes some people angry, but I don't think anyone's ever done anything like it.
I speak with people like Connor Roberts, Phoenix's Thomas Mars, Chris Gethard, Helen Hong, Adrian Young, and more, so their sparks of inspiration can start a fire in you.
I'm grateful for those who continue to put our history and who we are as a people in the forefront and make you see it.
Find the Spark Parade wherever you get your podcasts.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5hetide.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5hetide.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.
Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year, that matter.
Yay.
With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.
The cavalcade of stars continue. A surprise guest has said they're on the way. They're on the way to virtual Camp Nut Butter. Bonnaroo weekend with Barry Corder, Lord Taco. It's Brad Steiner on the What Podcast. Welcome to episode 2 from Virtual Camp Nut Butter. It's been a glorious day so far.
So they're walking back from media. They're on the back road. They're coming back the little area there where we have the crawfish boil, and they're trying to find us because nobody knows how that split works except us.
Yeah, there's two ways to go. There's one of two ways to go, and if you go the wrong way, it could lead you to the wrong entrance of Camp Nut Butter, and nobody can come through the back of Camp Nut Butter.
All right, Taco, here's the challenge. You need to find the sound of porta potty doors slamming right now, because that's what they're hearing.
Follow the sound of the porta potty.
Bam! Ooh. Bam.
Man, we did. There was one year. Now, our campsite has gotten a little bit better, but again, we're at the mercy of wherever they decide to put the porta-johns, right? So, you know, some years it's a little further away, but most years we unfortunately get lucky enough to be right next to the porta-johns. And one year was the worst. We were not only...
Here I met y'all.
It was the first year. So
you said, Barry, you should join us. And I looked around and this is the dumbest group of people I've ever been around. They're seriously, you think I'm kidding? I was like, I'm not joining you. You chose to be next to the
that border. One was, wait a second. You know me well enough. Do you think that I would choose to be there? That was a, we need to stay on high ground conversation.
The
from
dumbest decision ever.
Who do you think made that decision?
I'm not going to name names,
but you know exactly who said
and
it.
Me. I was way back in the corner, because happy.
His quote was, because for some odd reason, sometimes he, when camp would, we would start setting up camp really, really early on, he thought that it was the Wild West. And if anything got hairy, he needed to be on high ground, right? And so that was the place. Like, he wandered. We got there really early, and he wandered through that back lot, that back 40, maybe 10 times. And he swore that that was the best place to keep away from flooding. And I said, that's fine, but the porta johns are right there. And so if that wasn't bad enough, we looked up the first night, and we looked up, and there was this giant beaming light coming right down on us.
I mean,
it was the worst spot we've ever had. It was this generator sound, the bright light, and then bam, 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 bam.
All you guys are like, hey, there's Barry, come join us. And I'm like, no, probably not, because not only that, I had the best campsite I've ever had.
Yeah, you're up against a tree line, huh?
We were on the tree line, so there was nobody around me. and the secret little porta potties back there, which we now, you know, we don't talk about, but
they're not very secret. The problem with the secret porta potties is not only are they secret to the people that are at Bonnaroo, but they're also secret to the people that clean them. They don't know they're there, so they never get cleaned after day two.
We got to get into that. That's a whole nother thing, but that was the worst. And all right, so I will get into it in a minute. That reminded me of such a funny story from last year of, was it Doyle? Was it Doyle that came out of the porta potties?
Oh, don't even. I still scrub the skin off of my face. I ripped the skin off of my face just thinking about that moment.
That's the best.
She came out of the bathroom and, you know, of course I'm a germaphobe and I lose my mind.
And a jerk. You had already wound her up.
And I said germaphobe.
You wound her up. So she went into the porta potties and now tell the story.
All I remember is her coming out and putting her hands on my face.
She walked out of the porta potties, walked right up to Brad, grabbed him by both cheeks and said, I didn't wash my hands, and then walked off.
Had a small, small little panic attack. Just teeny tiny little.
This morning.
So the thing was about that campsite was we're unlucky that year. And we noticed the next year we found the same spot. And luckily enough, we kept coming back to the same spot every year. And now we know exactly where our campsite is. Every year it's in the exact same little slice of that backstage forest area. And yes, I hate to say this to general admission Bonnaroo person, but you guys got it a lot better out there than you used to. So I don't feel as bad as saying it now. But we have nothing but trees back there. We have a forest of shade. Well, we're at the mercy of whenever or wherever they decide to put the line of porta potties. Some years it's up 15, 20 yards, and some years it's right next to us. You know, at this point we've just come to grips with it because, you know, it's either be right there and get all the space in the world that we want, or be somewhere else and be totally cramped. Yeah. Totally cramped.
That's why I'm challenging Taco to find that sound. Bam. Bam.
It is
that and the smell. That's part of what I think of.
To be fair, the smell only comes around once every couple days because that's when they decide to clean them. It only smells when they decide to clean them.
Yeah, and it's not been that bad. What was the year that was so bad?
Yeah.
14.
See, Taco, when you were out in GA, the thing is like the GA bathrooms, we get a lot of perks back there. So don't let me fool you. I mean, life is not hard. But the one thing that you guys got over us, and I'm saying this with all honesty as a pre-COVID germaphobe, our bathroom situation is not good. It is not good, and it's never been good.
The bathrooms in Pod 2 were much better than the porta-potties we have.
They're disgusting, and they're the very last ones that ever get cleaned. Yep. They never get cleaned. Anyway, so our guests, our surprise guests, when I got the call, they were going to be driving. They've already driven in. They've parked, and they're walking towards us. They should be passing the first line of porta potties right now. So literally, at any moment, they're going to be walking right through the Camp Nut Butter marquee. And I just can't wait for you to see who has decided to stop by this year. It's a very, very exciting moment. Oh my God! There they are. They walked through the Camp Nut Butter marquee, and they're here, the repeats, the family of repeats, Jared and Kristen Corder from the Repeat Repeats.
I didn't give Skype permission to use the microphone, so I was about to hop on this call, and it was going to be silent. So then, like a grandpa, I had to be like, I was just pressing buttons. For
yeah. We just had one of those. Yeah, he's right there. We just have
one of those. This grandpa was giving the other grandpa instructions. That's what was funny about it.
We've had a fairy.
Pardon me?
You're looking good. You're looking
Thank
like
you. So, yeah, I know. I'm so happy to see you guys. I love this. Love this.
This is what we've tried to do is out of nowhere treat this much like our Bonnaroo campsite and the Merv Griffin show. At any moment, anybody could pop in and decide to crash camp. So this is it, virtual campsite.
Great reference, Brad.
You know, I try to keep it current for the kids.
Yeah, thank you. Yep. See.
I think the Rue crew are very big Merv Griffin fans. So I think
you're damn right. They like quality. They better like Merv Griffin, damn it.
That time. Might be a DJ at one of the stages, you know? DJ Merv Griffin.
Yeah. Hey Jared, is that your 3-month beard or your 4-month beard? How long is that taking?
I don't even know anymore. I don't know what is it. I don't know. I'm just like this hair, do whatever it wants. Yeah. Natural. You know, we moved out to a farm, so naturally it just now makes sense that just I let it all grow out. And then of course, you know, quarantine and everything. So
yeah.
I don't know. I'm trying to, I'm hoping that it helps our next, you know, the next series that we put out. Maybe it makes people go like, oh, he's going through his serious phase. He grew up here. You know what I mean?
Is it working, Kristen?
I personally love the scruff, so I'm all for it. This is about as long as it's as he has let it get now.
Yeah. Are you okay with it being as long as Lord Taco's beard?
That's only like 2 days. That's two days for Taco.
Yeah.
He grew that in the time of our last interview. It took 15 minutes.
Yeah.
Hey, wow.
Oh my gosh.
He's got food. He's got a PBR in there somewhere.
Yeah. This is the first year that my mustache is connecting to the bottom half of my beard. So
yeah.
I feel like I take it.
I remember puberty too.
Yeah, it's good. It's very good. Do you, Brad?
Yeah, sure do. How's it, guys? What have you been up to? What's been happening other than living out in the country and decorating the house for a perfect Skype set? What have you been doing?
We have been making a lot of music, thank goodness. I think we came off of the tour with the Black Keys, and the record with the Black Keys just really, really inspired, and we learned so much in that process that we were sort of really ready to take everything that we learned and try to do it ourselves at home. Yeah. So we've had an extremely productive quarantine, although we started working on the record a little bit before the turn of the year. So we've been at it for a bit now, and we might end up with a double record by the time it's all over, because we just keep going. So
yeah,
it's been good. It's been as good as can be expected.
I mean, you guys do nothing. Like if you go back and look at it, I don't know if you guys took a day off last year. How many shows or like you guys? It felt like you were on the road all the time.
This was
probably very welcome. A very welcome break.
It felt like that to us too. So we were already planning on 2020 being kind of a quieter year for us and touring a lot less and just kind of working on music and honing in on kind of what our next chapter is. And so if there were a perfect year to be quarantined in your home, this would have been for us either way. So I think
moving into a new house, these are the best times to be quarantined. You would have been quarantined anyway. You've got a new house. You got to build a fence. You got to build a patio set. You know, you got stuff to do.
On more than I got to shave my beard. That honestly, it's a weird juxtaposition because it's like we're like stuck at home. It's interesting. It's like, we're stuck at home. We're feeling really creative. We're making lots of music. We're spending all the time in the house in this new house that we wanted to, it's not new, but I mean, in our new house,
right.
That we didn't get last year. We feel like we're connecting with our family more and with our pets. And we feel really fulfilled in like so many areas of our life, but it's juxtaposed with like the constant feeling of just sadness of the world, you know? Yeah. And that's weird because there's like nothing to blame it on right now. You know what I mean? Like I was telling somebody yesterday, it was like, cause like we're just now seeing the like residuals from Glaze that came out a year ago. Right. So it's like, you know, we're even like just not touring. We're doing okay. We've played a couple like online shows and things like that. People have been really supportive with that. So it's like, normally it's just, my excuse is like, yeah, I'm just like depressed cause I'm a broke musician. But when you when you don't have that, or when you're like, I'm just depressed because I haven't been home in like 6 weeks. I've been on tour or, you know, just because I haven't spent enough time
or
with the pets.
Exhausted.
We're exhausted, but we're definitely not. We're sleeping all the time now, it feels like. So it's like, it's weird when you just feel sad about things, even though, like, a lot of things are going really well, but you just feel like the world is kind of hurting.
There's a lot of heaviness.
Do you guys, and I know this is going to be a little bit too personal, do you guys fight?
No. We asked them at Camp Nut, that very question at Camp Nut Butter.
I know, but now we know them better. Now they're, now we demand the honest answer.
They'll tell the truth now.
I think we told you guys this, but we've never spent a night apart in about
since the day we
started. That's right.
Yeah.
And we really don't fight very often. I mean,
we bicker, but not often. It's usually when we start to feel cooped up. So, like, how long have we been in quarantine right now?
3 months?
Since March 11th.
So, March 11th, we've been, like, basically not leaving the house unless it's for groceries or something. And it was so good. It was just like, it was like a montage out of a fucking rom-com. It's like every day for the first month, we were like, yes, we don't have to be anywhere. No one expects anything. We could just write music all day. We can play with the dogs all day. It was like so great. I was like, you want a pancake? You know what I mean? And,
yes, I do. I want a pancake.
I was like, I'll make my favorite dinner. You make your favorite dinner. She made
Jared. Pancakes. Jared is the Oprah of pancakes.
smoking a pancake.
Exactly. But it's really just in the last couple weeks where there's this weird interim where some people are out and some people aren't. And it's just strange. I think we're both feeling a little cooped up. And so it's just easy to and it's getting hot. So it's just easy to be hot and don't touch me. Right. But the only other time that we got bickery that I can, and that's not even a word, was our first time at Bonnaroo.
Oh, but this was 2012. Bonnaroo was hard on Jared year one.
Well, the first couple days were good. It was the last day.
Yeah, that's true. It was day four. We went for all 4 days. We camped as far out in GA as we could.
We were not ready.
On purpose?
Yes. And the reason...
And we even had an artist pass.
Again, this was first year. The reason we did that is because my big concern was that it was going to be too loud for me to get any sleep any closer. I'm a really light sleeper. And so we were let's just go as far out as we can. We're still here, but we'll definitely get some sleep out there. And it kicked our butt to walk that much for 4 days straight.
And then the last day, Kristen, I was
I took a picture.
I was being pouty or something the last day, and I was just sitting next to a dumpster or something.
You were sitting
and Kristen took a picture.
I know that picture. I didn't know the story behind that picture, but I know exactly. I feel like I've seen it. I feel like you've shared that before.
Obviously, we love concerts, and we also love the outdoors, and we live in the woods. We love to camp, but 4 days at a music festival camping is not the same as camping in the wilderness. Right.
So that is so hysterical because the first year that I took the wife Hillary to Bonnaroo, I had already been before and I was swearing that I would never come back. I hated it so much because of exactly what you guys did. I did the same thing essentially. I had all of the passes, but I didn't know what the hell any of them meant. So I went into GA and it turned into be a complete disaster. Well, when she convinced me to come back, I was like, all right, but under only one circumstance, if we're really taken care of and they make this something I can't even turn down. So we go, and then the first night, they're really trying to lay it on thick to me because they want me to enjoy myself after all of the bitching and complaining that I did. I mean, Barry knows. If I've got a bitch, it doesn't stop. It will go and go and go. And
take
so, so they're laying it on thick back there, man. I mean, they're making cocktails and cocktails and cocktails. And Hillary just has not figured out that this is not a marathon. This is a jail sentence. I mean, you have got to figure out how to maneuver your way through the jail so that you don't, find yourself in some trouble. Well, we go out, we get carted out to, it's the other at this point.
Yeah.
So we're carted out and we get lost. Of course, she is cloud. I mean, she is completely hammered. She has, and she all of a sudden starts fighting with me. And I'm like, you can't leave me. We don't know how to get back. And so at this point, she is furious with me. I don't even know what the fight was about, but I was sort of sober. She was not. And she started just running away from me in the middle of the field. And I'm like, please don't do this. I don't know how to get back. And then all of a sudden she runs and she stops dead in her tracks and she looks up and there was a Mountie. There was a cop on a horse. And it was like this moment where, like, you know, she had seen sort of like a vision of God. And then we finally get ourselves back to camp. She passes out. She wakes up the next morning and she goes, did I see a horse? Doesn't know anything about the night before except for the horse.
I can. Yeah. They see this unfolding in my mind.
I feel like, so to answer your question, we don't really fight. I feel like really thankful that she's my best friend, but also like the stuff that ever makes me mad is usually stuff that she's very much right about. It's like, should we play this show or something? And it's usually related to the band stuff. And she'll be like, she's really smart about that stuff. And she's really savvy and keen on like, you know, the building your business. And she'll be like,
that is true. It is actually 99% of the time band stuff where I am trying to be like quality over quantity. And Jared is like clear opposite.
Or like with music, she'll be like, I'll be like, what do you think of this? So I'll spend like all morning like working on something. She's like, yeah, it doesn't work. And I'll be like, fuck, she's right. Definitely right. It's not
just think
working.
About the happiness you could have if you didn't work together.
Oh,
just
my
think
gosh.
About it.
It's like you guys are reading my mail. I'm sitting here. We just had this discussion at home. She's always right. You know, I get so mad. Come on, we got to be early. And we're 10 minutes late and nothing has happened. She's always right. You know, I'm sitting here listening to Brett. I'm listening to you guys talk about, though, my wife Kelly has only been to one Bonnaroo. She came up for the Springsteen night, and she had to come and go through the whole rigmarole, carrying all this stuff. She couldn't get on a van. The rigmarole. Brad loves that's a whole nother thing.
It's a Merv Griffin reference.
It's a Merv Griffin. Go with it, Brad.
I was hip to the words of the youth, like
the
rigmarole.
Yeah, if you were hip to it, you would know what I was jiving about. But anyway, I'll never forget. It took forever for her to get a van from that Holiday Inn to the back. And this picture of her carrying like her pillow and food and all of this stuff, you know, and the first thing she sees as we come out of our tent after she settles is a girl come running out from a van, dropping her pants and peeing in the middle of the road. And I'm like, welcome to Bonnaroo. Let's go see Springsteen.
And did she ever come back?
Never came back.
Okay, good. Never came back.
Yeah. Not her thing.
Did she even bother to stay the rest of the night after Springsteen, or she just bailed that night?
No, she stayed and liked it. Actually loved it. She gets it, which she's just that's not a her thing. And and we've talked about this, Jared and Kristen. Kristen, it's if both sides aren't, you know, into it, it's not a happy place for either side.
Yeah, you guys are a testament to it, and I guess I am too, but take Barry's advice. And I've said this to Taco. Me and Russ have talked about this in the past. Don't bring a significant other. Don't bring a significant other unless you have complete confidence that this person is not going to ruin your weekend. Being tied to another person at Bonnaroo is a very, very, very sketchy proposition.
I did in 2018, and it worked out fine.
But not 19.
Not 19.
Did it? Yeah. Yeah.
Another on our first year on the farm was this is kind of an odd little like detail of the story is we ended up going with a beer sponsor to our farm. So we had some friends that work in like distribution, beer distribution here in Nashville, and she knew that we were going to Bonnaroo and was like, let me send you guys with some beer. So she sent us with literal like pallets of beer.
We had a, it was 6 feet tall.
How did you get it in?
Through our car. I don't know. I took the van and I like hit under some something.
I don't remember having any issues.
We had a photography pass because we had a friend that worked at a music blog and she couldn't go. And she's like, if you'll write the blog post and take a few pictures, I'll give you my pass. So we were able to go through that way. I don't know.
If you do my job for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we had a ton of beer. So we were like a really popular campsite.
Are you able to say what kind of beer it was?
Yeah, it was Lion Kugel, Summer Shandy, and Blue Moon.
Right.
Okay. All right.
Russ, how's the bus?
It's good. I'm sitting in it right now. Of course, I'm in my garage, not at Bonnaroo, but I'm in the bus. I'm drinking a PBR.
Which is exactly what he would be doing at Bonnaroo.
Exactly what I'd be doing at Bonnaroo. So I'm doing great. Yeah.
Talking about going to see a show that he's not going to go see.
Yeah, he's not going to see it. What was that, Jared?
I said, please be careful. Either leave the garage door open or don't turn on the bus. If you're just going to party in your car in the garage all day, please be careful.
Okay? That's what I've done for 3 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've got this whole house, but for some reason I've been living in my bus.
Yeah.
In the garage.
I get attached to our tour van too after we've been on the road for a long time. I'm just sort of like, no, this is my home now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I live here now. Last Halloween, we do an annual Halloween show in Nashville. And at the end of the night, it was like 3 a.m. and I was DD. And I was like, do we want to just go get a cheap hotel right now and sleep for a few hours? Chris was like, no, let's go back to the house, and which is an hour away. So we packed all our shit up. We drove an hour all the way back to the house. It's like, by now it's like 4 a.m. We get to the house. She's like, I don't want to wake the pet sitter. Let's just sleep in the van. So we slept in the back of the van.
In our driveway.
She was more freaked out that we were in just asleep in the van. She's like, "What? Why didn't you knock on the door?"
We're like, it was 3 a.m. Like we thought that was gonna be creepy. So
yeah, it is really weird. If you sleep in a van in Nashville, you're homeless. If you sleep in a van outside your house, you feel like a regular person.
Must be a musician. Must be a musician.
I'm being thoughtful, okay, guys. I'm being thoughtful. So,
all right, I got a question, Jared, going back to what you said, make it a little bit more serious. But we had Jim from Burris from Capitol Records on earlier.
Columbia,
excuse me.
It's okay.
Wizard of Oz.
There's a lot of them.
Mike Tyson. Yeah, we're going to talk about it. And the idea, the question of, and you guys were talking about songwriting. And so the question came up of sort of how do we move forward? Are we going to expect albums and music about this last 3 months, or do you go past it? Or, I mean, you know what I mean? It's so universal. And
like I said to Jim, I don't think that Lizzo's Good as Hell would work right now.
Well,
you know, probably not the same impact.
It's one of my favorite interview quotes from all time, and I don't know who said it, but it was related to the whole sophomore jinx thing, you know, where an artist has a great first album and then they spend months and months and months on a tour bus. And so the next album is all about life on a tour bus.
Right.
And this guy said, yeah, nobody cares that your chauffeur's had a bad day.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Right. And so with that in mind, that's what what do you do? I mean, you guys have a farm, you got all kinds of other things going on, but you know what I'm asking?
Yeah, I will say two things. We did start writing this record several months before any of the current happenings.
We started writing it in October.
Yeah, so we were well into this record before some of these things were really on the forefront of everyone's mind. That said, I will say that this record to us, the writing means more than any of our previous records. And I think that can be attributed to us having more time. When we did Glazed, we had 20 days with Patrick in the studio, and everything had to be done that minute. Like, if we needed to rework a song, we had to do it sitting right there with Patrick Carney sitting a few feet away from us as we're trying to work through lyrics. And while we're extremely proud of that record, sometimes the lyrics of it, you know, are, we just kind of look back and go like, oh yeah, I remember writing this like on the spot.
Well, yeah. I've come up with, I ate an apple. Is that okay?
What is
a little bit of that kind of stuff.
But they didn't feel like, I mean, this is just honest. They didn't feel like our songs went, but by the time we were done in the studio, right? Over the course of a few months and listening to the album a bunch before it had been released and practicing with the band and then touring, like they're now feeling like our songs. Like, we just did a live stream thing and we had all the band play. And I was like, damn, like these songs sound like our songs now because we went and played them on the road. And like, because we feel like we're growing into them. But we didn't feel like they were our songs. Like, literally, we finished the record and then it was like rolling with the label on releasing it. And they wanted that out like quickly and everything was moving really fast. And so with this record, it's like we get to start with our first record again, because our first record we spent months on and we took all the time in the world to formulate the right team and the right release and everything. And with that, we get to do this too. The other thing is like it leveled COVID and everything and the quarantine leveled the playing field for a lot of artists, because my touring schedule looks
the same as
Lizzo's, you know what I mean?
That's a great point.
Me and Lizzo are playing the same arena.
Yeah.
Instagram.
Probably. No one's wondering like, oh, you know, why you didn't get this festival or that festival, or why you didn't have more tour dates. It's like, no one has any shows. And, you know, it did really just kind of like wipe the slate clean, which is really nice.
A lot of like, and I think as a songwriter, like a lot of the trivial things that like, oh, like they've been a band for really long, so they like run out their welcome, or they've put out, you know, they're like too old, or they're whatever, or, you know, like I hate that, the thing that people say, like, where has that band been? You know what I mean? Because there's like so many bands in the like middle class of like, if there's like the Lizzos, and then there's like the bands that are just starting making songs on GarageBand and you've never heard of them, and they're playing to two people, then there's this weird middle class, you know, that's like, any bands like us that are playing the smaller stages at Bonnaroo, up to like, I don't know, like Group Love, right? Like Group Love is probably big enough to make enough on the road, but they're not as big as Lizzo. They're not headlining Saturday night at Bonnaroo. And I think like there's so many of those bands that are just, it's, you know, it's a grind and they have to work at it. And
if you go away for 10 minutes, people are like, where did they even go? Are they even a band? You're like, we're working so hard.
Right.
I feel like now people are just so starved for any sort of content or music or art or anything really. And especially stuff that brings you joy and stuff too, I think that it's like a welcomed return to like being creative and just putting stuff out, you know what I mean? And not being too precious about it.
Well, okay. So it's a totally natural thing. And I know it's not fun to admit, but how often do you compare yourself to other bands and other artists?
Yeah, and every band does.
And we know better. I mean, you know, we've been at this for 7 years now. We know better. We still do it all the time.
Kanye West, not a man that I generally, you know, model my personal, you know, process off of, but he did say something
stunning
one time. Actually, in Nashville, he said something else.
You find that hard to believe.
Yeah.
But.
Well, he said something that in Nashville that was really poignant. And he was like, he had been trying to work with Nike forever. And he's always wanted to have like a sponsorship with Nike and do something with them. And he had all these ideas. And Nike's always turned him down. And they've always said no. And he was like, the point I'm trying to make is that it doesn't matter how big you are, you're still going to compare yourself. You're still going to get told no. You're still going to have shit that you have to work towards and stuff that you might work towards and never actually achieve. So, like, that feeling of either inadequacy or that feeling of, like, you know, I call it the constant, like, just small drip of, like, you know, you'll be like, one day you'll be like, ah, fuck this. I'm not going to make music anymore. And then, like, one cool person will be like, hey, I really like that song. And you're like, that's that one drip. I'm going to go back to this tomorrow. You know what I mean? It's like,
takes very little to yeah. sort of keep you, you going.
That's actually, you know, what, okay, you know, I say this to you all the time, but your vulnerability, you guys' vulnerability is the thing I love the most about you. And if anyone's actually ever listening to this, take away from it that artists are, at the end of the day, bands are people and human beings. And yeah. even though it may not go into, it may go into the ether, a tweet that says something nice or an Instagram message, and they may never respond to it. But boy, there's an opportunity where it might be grabbed, held on to in a really good moment or a bad day of theirs and totally change their perspective on something.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I think any artist, you know, like one, just one really nice comment on like Instagram, it seems so pointless at times, but one really nice one can totally make your day. Just like yeah. one shitty comment can like ruin your whole day. And I don't think it matters how big you are. You know what I mean?
True.
No, well, it doesn't.
And then again, not every band has Penny Lane, you know, traveling with them like Switchfoot or whatever the hell that band's name was on Almost Famous.
All right. Yeah. I used to work, the guy whose position I took, a guy named Jim Ruth, was a reviewer for our paper for many years. And he came to me one day. I told him straight up, I want your job. I'm going to take your job. And he said, you can have it someday. Well, he came to me one day and he said, I'm quitting. I'm not doing this anymore. He'd been in a 12-step meeting. Mm-hmm. And he said, I'm a part of my job is to review records. And it's not funny. A guy looked up at him and said, reviewers are pond scum. And he said, I'm not doing this ever again. That always stuck with me. And then the other thing, listening to you say that, is when I read about like Dylan and, you know, people who we hold up as icons talking about how this review or that review or this moment made or motivated them. That just always stuck with me to hear you guys say how much it means to you. Cause I mean, from my point of view, I've done them and I'm like, you know, it's just my opinion, but, it hurts me. And that whole pond scum thing hurts me. So, I mean, I've really not done it.
Well, guess what they say about radio people?
It's just an interesting conversation that it means so much, but it doesn't, but it does. You know what I mean?
That infuriates us both that some artists do. I feel like not a lot, but the ones that you really hear about, you know, there have been several that we've all heard about. But when artists clap back at negative, or even not even negative, sometimes they clap back at anything less than, you know, glowing reviews. That makes us absolutely yeah. crazy. Like I remember Ann Powers, was it Ann Powers posted something? Yeah. I can't remember who the artist was. Fortunately, I can't remember. But like they basically just tore her to pieces for something yeah. she had said. Honestly, that she truly felt about their music. And I just think that that is just absolutely horrid mm-hmm. when artists do that. Like, we deserve the good, the bad, the in between, and it's all valuable. And
well, and there's always different. I mean, there's sometimes reviews are just the guys trying to be clever. Sometimes it's a, you know, trying to be funny. I don't, that's not right. I mean, if it's an honest review, your opinion of the work, that's one thing. But
yeah, to be honest, I actually like when there's some criticism to our music because, you know, you'll do like press junkets, like at festivals and stuff. And it's different. Like with you guys, I feel like we became like friends and family. You know what I mean? But like you'll do like a 5-second interview with something and they'll write some review and it'll be like, very nice, but you can tell it's like, you know, when somebody's just like saying a lot of nice stuff and you're like, okay, I know, but like, yeah, like I,
there's no meat to
it. It would feel weird if we put out a record and Pitchfork was like 10 out of 10, no words to say, it is perfect. I'd be like, did my mom write a review or something?
Yeah.
I can like kind of sink my teeth into it. Like, I want to know your thoughts about, like, you know, when you ask somebody like, what do you think of this thing I did? Whatever it is. And they just go, oh, it's great. And you're like, but if you really value their opinion as a music reviewer or as a listener or something, you really want their feedback. Oh, but yeah, it's, you know,
well,
I really
Jared,
like this.
Hang on a second. Let me. I'm going to push back on you for a second. But the same thing could be said about somebody's food that they make at a restaurant. A chef has prepared a certain meal for you. I have taken this. Look, I said this the other day. I don't have an opinion on many things. I really try not to have an opinion on anything. Don't give me that look, Barry. I knew you were going to do that. But like, I'm talking about like beer, art,
you don't
cocktails.
Ever not have an opinion.
Okay, I got it. But for like food, beer, stuff like that, I've tried to keep my opinion away from it and just have the product the way that it was intended to have it. I try not to say words like I like it, I don't like it, etc. I probably just try to enjoy whatever it is they were trying to present to me. That's sort of the way that I take music sometimes. This was prepared for me in a certain way based on where they were. Now, whether or not I think that they did very well, it really doesn't really matter. That's what they prepared. And it would be like me telling the chef, I don't know, man, it just didn't have enough salt. I really needed some more garlic. No, I don't know if I don't know if that's where I need to be.
I mean, this conversation took an interesting turn, but the way we've always approached it and the way I've always told our especially our young new writers, it's pretty simple. It's two questions. What's the artist trying to say, and did they do it well? And if you approach it that way, doesn't matter if it's supposed to be, you know, a dumb film, stupid, you know, it's Caddyshack, it's whatever, or it's, you know, 2001. What are they trying to say, and did they do it well? And if you just approach it from that way, it doesn't really matter. To your point, Brad, what's the chef? I mean, was he trying to make a hot dog, or was he trying to make, you know, whatever, Coco Von? I mean, you know.
Yeah. Pancakes.
Pancakes. Yeah, peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
I think, too, with us, if we have met the writer, I sometimes feel like they have a harder time writing something negative.
Well, it's because y'all are the nicest two people.
It's hard to hate up close. It's really hard to hate up close.
Yeah.
Loved, that's why we loved working with Patrick, because he was, like, really good at telling us,
his
opinions. And that's also why I love writing songs with her. Because she'll tell me if something sucks. And I think it's a level of trust. Like, Brad, if you're like just telling, if you go to, I don't know, Taco Mamacita in Nashville, and you're just like, I didn't have enough salt. You know what I mean? The person would be like, all right, well.
We have a Taco Mamacita in Chattanooga. It never doesn't have enough salt. It always has enough
salt. But I don't know. I think that like I think that it's better when I know that she has the best interest in mind, because I trust her opinion. And if I like wrote a song and she was just like, yeah, it's fine, it's cool, it works, we can put it on the record, I'm like, I need a little bit more than that. You know what I mean? And I think that,
It's so fascinating because what you're describing, what you're describing is a process that is very collaborative, and which a lot of those things work. A lot of artists have worked very well like that. But then there are those artists that don't give a damn what anybody says, and this is what it's going to be. I had that conversation with Ed O'Brien from Radiohead a few weeks ago, the way that he interacted with Tom York was basically like, he just gives me the songs, man. You know, collaboration here. It's my way, and I know it's fucking right, and I don't care what you say.
That's a great pull, Brad. Actually, that was a really good conversation, and it's part of what I was gonna say, because I ask artists this all the time: who's the voice in your ear that tells you? Eh-eh.
Oh, it is me.
But everybody's got to have that, right?
Yeah. You think? Barry, that happened yesterday. I was like playing her a track I had worked on. And I was like, all right, I'm going to play you this first round, and it's going to have a solo that I know you're going to hate. But if I don't play it for you, then I'll always wonder if maybe just like 1% of you might be like, oh, no, because once in a while she'll throw me totally off. I'll be like, you're going to hate this thing. I'll play it for you. She's like, no, it's awesome. Keep it. And I'm like, oh, okay. So I was like, I'm going to play it for you. You're probably going to hate it. But we just got, I got to know. And I play it. She goes, yeah, I hate that.
There's a guitar right behind you. Let's hear it.
If there are horns in it, but there's a pretty good chance I'm not going to like it.
Yeah, she doesn't like horns in her music.
Wow, no kidding. That's a big piece of news. I did not know that.
similar with my wife. I did a project I was proud of. I mean, a pretty public thing. And I come home and I'm like, well, did you see it? Yeah. And I said, what'd you think? Well, you didn't flub it up like I thought you would. You did.
Man, I do this. You know, I did this.
That would hurt, but it's just exactly what I expected from her.
Just the other night, I walked through the house and I was like, I had a joke, right? And I was like, I'm really proud of this joke. And I walked through the house and Hillary goes, yeah, that's not funny. And I said, you don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Yeah. But she was right, probably, right?
No, it was a good joke. It was a good joke.
We show each other memes all day long, and we just like keep one-upping each other. But sometimes I'll show her a meme. She'll just, like, I don't get it.
I don't get it at all.
And I'm like, oh. But,
yeah, let me text this to Brad. He'll think it's funny.
Yeah. So, I think it's important. Everybody has that.
So you guys.
Corners, like if I know that he's just like doing something that he's not really pushing himself, I just won't let him do that to himself or to me, who is also in the band. You know, I just am like, no, like even if we have to spend a week, you know, reworking this, like we just have to, like, yeah. It's not your best and we have to get this.
Do you have a, now Jared would probably be a better answer to this, but Kristen, do you have a thing where you're trying to tell him it's not good enough, but you don't want to hurt his feelings with it? Do you have a thing like, oh, that's cute?
We used to have that. Like her whole thing is like, she'll be like, one thing she'll say is, that might be a good song for your solo album.
Yeah, that's how I try to.
The other one is like, she'll be like, I think you're pulling too much from your pop punk roots.
Oh, yes. Those are the two things. Every now and then, he'll have a song that I'm like, whoa, we're like All American Rejects right now or something. Then I'm like, I loved this band, but that is not this band.
Literally yesterday, I had a melody in my head, so I was playing it on guitar. The electric guitar wasn't even plugged into an amplifier. And I was just playing it in the music room with the door shut. She comes out. She opens the door. She goes, that sounds exactly like On My Own, Here We Go by Green Day.
She's like,
stop it right now before you go any further.
And then I did. Because it's harder to accept the criticism. Although I will say a blanket, you're very good, especially for an artist. You're very, very good about feedback and not being too precious and not like, you generally you want he wants my feedback, but I'd like to not let him get too far down the road on something that I know isn't going to work for us, because it's harder if he's spent more time on it. So he spent a couple minutes on this yesterday and I just was like, I'm like, stay to me, so we just stop it right there.
Yeah, and it's like, for me, it's never, my feelings are never hurt if she's like, that's not going to work. It's only just sometimes frustrating if you have, like, it's easy in your mind to correlate time spent with value, right? But that's not always the case with art, right? Some you've written songs.
Like, it's not that case with people. It's not the case with anything in the world.
That's true. Right. That's very true.
We've made songs that took us like 3 hours and it's done. And we're like, wow. And it was, and ended up on the record. We've had songs that we've spent months on and ended up on a record. And neither one is like judged by the amount of time we spent on it. But for me, if I spent like 12 hours on a song and she comes in, she's like, I'm not feeling this. You want to be like, I spent 12 hours on it. You know what I mean? But
I try to catch him quick.
Yeah.
Our big joke at the paper is, now don't take this the wrong way. Right. Nothing good ever follows that.
I want to come back to this. I want to come back to this thing real quick, because we'll let you go here in a second. So thanks for stopping by, Virtual Camp Nut Butter. But you don't like songs with horns in them?
Okay.
That is baffling to me. Hello, goodbye Otis Redding. Goodbye anything from the 60s. Goodbye Alabama Shakes. Goodbye St. Paul and the Broken Bones.
Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Oh, my God.
I love a lot of 60s songs, but my 60s vibes are like, you know, The Byrds and Peter, Paul, and Mary and things like that. Not a lot of horn-based stuff. I generally speaking like, you know, sauces that are creamy and things that are gentle and like,
she doesn't like marinara sauce. Like, she doesn't like red sauce.
I swear to God, I think that is going to be a lyric of you guys one day. Sauce is better creamy. I have a feeling.
That's really good.
they're either harsh or they're like, woo, like frivolous, like silly.
But she does love 12-string guitar. Anything jangly. She likes jangly, just not like corny. Almighty. You know what I mean?
Is that an instrument, jangly? Is that an official instrument? Who plays the,
versus
who plays the jangles on the new Repeat Repeat album?
There are some songs. There's some songs. There was something recently. I can't remember it, but I was like, she was like, I really like that song. And I was like, it's got a lot of horns in it. She's like, yeah, I know. But
every now and then one slips through.
Right.
That's funny. I love the jangles.
Yeah. My favorite band is the jangles. Yeah. That's stunning to me because, it's just such a different world than if it doesn't have horns, you can just trash it. I don't even want it. You know, I love horns so much. I mean, I am a sucker.
I can do all the horn songs then. You can have those.
Yeah.
I'm a sucker for them. Like, you know,
what's your sauce? What's your sauce preference?
To her point, I'm a cream guy. Like I want all cream sauce all the time. I like a marinara fine, but I want a cream sauce. But what I'd say is, you know,
music is food.
I'm the biggest mark in the world because if you send me something with a horn in it, I guess I'm gonna play this on the radio. Well, I mean, you can literally fart in a microphone, and I would with a horn, and I'm okay with that.
I can tell you in advance, Brad, there is one song on the record, Headspace, I haven't heard yet, that has a lot of horns at the end because it's supposed to be this like end of the world kind of feel, triumphant and sad all at the same time. And you're going to be, because I'm just telling you now, so you don't give me that phone call. And you're like, I thought you didn't like horns. We got some horns on this record. We experimented. But yeah, you know, just.
Interesting.
So I played this thing and it had this like, I listened to this band, the Viagra Boys. They're like if Huey Lewis and the News did crack, basically. It's just like, yeah. And she doesn't really like them. Our neighbors got mad at me for playing it really loud on the porch one day. Whole thing. So I was trying to put this saxophone solo in a song, and I was like, but it was just weird enough that I was able to like it. And she was like, oh, she was like having a physical reaction. It was like somebody put a marinara sauce in her mouth, and she was like, no, I can't do this.
I just can't. The math on this doesn't add up, man. I just cannot get for 2 to 2 = 5 on this. It makes
If there's any songwriters out there, just watch this episode and you'll figure it all out. Yeah, this is how you do it.
All right, let's pull it back to Bonnaroo for a second. You guys couldn't go to Bonnaroo last year because you were on tour at the Keys. Were you planning on going this year?
I don't think we were planning on going this year. I'm trying to remember what our plans were before everything changed.
You didn't even think about it. So in December, when you're like writing some stuff, you didn't even think about, we could drive down the road and go to Bonnaroo?
I think we assumed we would also be on tour in the summer. We also assumed
trips.
We would not be.
We were doing trips.
Well, that too. Right.
So instead of like this year, we were going to just, we actually never went on a honeymoon because we like came home and then had to go tour. So we were going to basically play like a handful of shows and then the rest of the year work on the record, and then we had like 4 vacations lined up. For Christmas I bought her all new luggage because we're gonna go to Scotland and drink scotch, and then and then all the shit happened, so she's got really nice luggage that we can't use for another year.
Brand new luggage, still like wrapped.
So we weren't planning on going to music business. We wanted to just go do stuff we never get to
do. That's right.
Pack up all the luggage and go out in the driveway and sleep in the van tonight.
Yeah.
Just pretend you're and take a bottle of scotch.
Like pretend we're at Bonnaroo or on tour. Because if we're pretending like we're on tour, I should also throw some money in the trash. I should throw some money in the trash. And one of my pets should get sick, but I can't get home fast enough.
Stay up for 3 nights.
Yeah,
just 'cause there's literally no time to sleep.
Someone with like someone should call themselves the venue owner and yell at me. It should be.
I miss you guys like crazy, and hopefully, I'm so glad to see you, and I'm so excited about the new stuff. And you know, take your time with it. Add some horns. It'll be all right.
You're on our short list of people that when it is appropriate to be social again.
Okay.
You're on that list.
Okay. Well, I hope you like New Orleans in the summer because it is hot, 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 hot. By the way, here's the thing. We've sat here for a few hours and I have sweat so much and I stink so bad because of this New Orleans humidity. I feel like I'm at Bonnaroo. I feel like I'm at there. Are we all smelling the same or is it just me?
I mean, Russ is in his garage. So
No, I smell pretty good.
Yeah. Jared and Kristen, I'm sure it is up there too. We are so mad that this weather is so unbelievable. This week, it's killing us.
Yeah, it's rough, guys. The
Twitter people and like play Bonnaroo once, and you have this like collection of people that you, as you guys know, you're friends with forever. So all of our Twitter feed is a bunch of people really sad that this weather is so beautiful this weekend.
It is one of the hardest things that quarantine was tough, but this sucks. This really, really sucks. When we woke up yesterday morning and felt our air and then looked at the weather forecast, it was just a knife in the back. It was the worst thing that you could have thrown onto our week that we could have already, it was bad enough, but boy, stab us a little bit more because the weather is just too perfect. It would have been, and I don't know if you guys spent much time at the lineup because if you weren't planning on going, I don't know why you would, but this was
fantastic.
This was the day that will go down as a day that may be the greatest festival day of all time. I mean, this lineup today, just today, was unbelievable from front to back, and to be that useless piece of paper that Doctor's holding up.
Yeah, but you know what? And I mean,
with this weather, oh man, I can't imagine.
I mean this sincerely. It hit us hard yesterday, and Brad and Taco and I have talked about it. We our group talked all day yesterday, and then all of a sudden, I mean, we're going to talk to you guys today and Jim Burris. It's helped a bunch. I mean, y'all, the connection that we had when you guys came to camp meant the world. So, it's really cool that you're doing this. Well, really, really cool.
Like family to us. And, y'all will be some of the first to hear the record when it's done. So,
all right, good. All right. Well, we'll talk to you then, I guess. You guys be safe. Enjoy the farm.
Well, hopefully we'll talk to you plenty more between then and now, but y'all have a wonderful weekend. And pretend it's Bonnaroo.
Before you go, I got to tell Barry this. I did offer to help Jared build his back patio, and Barry will he'll testify as to how good I am with my handy skills.
So there is a silver lining to this pandemic. You didn't have to have Brad try to help you fix anything. both are winners.
By the time this is all over, y'all can come over and have a drink on the porch.
You can't wait. It's gonna be a big drive, but we'll do it. We'll sleep in the van. We'll see you guys.
Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye.
Bye. All right, there you go. The repeats. Another surprise guest on the What Podcast virtual Camp Nut Butter experience. I guess we've got some more surprise guests along the way this weekend, huh?
Were they our first? Were they the first to come
by? The first ones ever to do a backstage podcast at Bonnaroo ever.
Yeah.
Not just ours, ever.
Love those guys. Yeah. And it was huge. It was not huge. It was terrific. So yeah, I love it. Sweet.
Yeah. So when we were talking to Jim earlier today, I meant to tell him, but we ran out of time. There was nobody.
Who does he work for? Decca? He works for VJ Records?
Yeah. Decca? Yeah, just say a bunch of letters. there was nobody more excited this year than Lennon Stella. When we talked at Lollapalooza, she could not stop talking about coming on the show and coming to camp. So, you know, it's, just chalk another one. Put another one on the board. Put another heartbreak on the board.
Yeah, well, she'll be a guest.
Yep. So there you go. We'll see you next time.
Hey.
Whoever we got next.
Taco, you have a phone number in front of you?
Yes.
Let's share that right now.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's share that right now.
We have a virtual mailbox set up that you can call in and give us your thoughts about, this weekend, about Bonnaroo, about what you'd be doing.
Okay.
You ready for the number?
I'm ready for the number. It's like, is this like some sort of telethon? Do I have to give some money?
Yeah. Okay. Venmo me a dollar. All right, the number is 423 667 7877.
Oh, it's back.
There it is.
Oh, yeah. Call it's that. Back. Tell us your favorite Bonnaroo moments. Tell us, you know, Brad's hair, good or bad. Tell us whatever.
There's no other than good or great.
I think this is going to be a lot of fun.
This is something we did at camp. We left a recorder in the mailbox at Camp Nut Butter and got a whole bunch of audio. So this is our virtual way of doing it, right?
Yeah, I'm really excited about it. This could be a lot of fun.
Leave a message. We'll play it on the air.
Yep. There you go. Have some fun with it.
Yep. All right, guys. Till next time we get back to virtual camp. It should be here in a couple hours. See you then.
Hey. How y'all feeling? Journey through the stories that define the artists playing Bonnaroo. Who are they? What are they? What will you see? The what? Which bands? This year? That matter. Yay. With Brad Steiner and Barry Corder.